Today's Shir's Masechta Yuma Daf Pei Beis. We begin on Daf Pei Beis on Aleph at the Mishnah on the top of the Amid. We know that a boy becomes Bar Mitzvah, Mechuyev B'Mitzvahs, when he's 12 years old, when he's 13 years old. A girl becomes Bas Mitzvah when she is 12 years old. The question that we're going to begin discussing in our Mishnah in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem is, at what point do we start training children to fast, both by boys, by girls, to fast partial day and the whole day? So Mishnah begins at Tanoikos Eim Anamosam. Children, we don't make them fast. So Rashi explains what it means is that we don't make them not, we don't hold back food from them. So the Beis Yosef, in trying to understand the opinion of Rashi, says the Rashi seems to hold that if we want to train them, we are allowed to. However, the Ran, based on reading or the reading of the Rambam, says that our Mishnah, as we're about to begin in Mitzvah Shem, gives us specific shiurim, ages, at what point a child begins to fast, and we start to train them. And the halacha is, says the Ran, according to the Rambam, one may not begin before that day. The Maram Chaviv wants to take a compromise position. He wants to say that when the child wants to eat, and it's before the age we're learning in the Mishnah, everybody agrees that we give him to eat. The question is, are we allowed to, if a child wants to fast, and he's younger than the age stated in the Mishnah, can we let him fast or not? But, as I saw, most Rishonim are of the opinion, the Kolba and other Rishonim are of the opinion that before the ages mentioned in our Mishnah, we may never let a child fast. The Maram Chaviv asks, according to Rashi, the Eim Ma'anim means that we don't make him fast, but we allow him to fast. So what is the Mishnah after teaching, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Eim Anon Oysa B'Yom Kippurim. That means, according to the Rishonim, that say that before the age stated in our Mishnah Gemara, we don't allow the child to fast. So the Mishnah is teaching us a very important rule, that before the age that they're allowed to fast, they may not fast under any circumstances, even if they want to. But according to Rashi, that they're allowed to fast even before the age is stated in the Mishnah, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? So Rabbi Yashua says that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that under the circumstances, even according to Rashi, we just said, if the child doesn't want to fast, we don't make him fast. So when the child is allowed to fast, not only is he allowed to fast, but he's allowed to eat whatever he wants. There's no concept of chinuch for them for that day. But there is an interesting Truma Sadeshin, where the Truma Sadeshin suggests that if it's possible that the children should eat, and the adult should not have to give them the food, that would be better. Because food, there's two reasons. First of all, chas v'shalom, the adult may come to eat if he's handling the food. And number two, because we're not quite clear at what point the child is supposed to stop eating. And if he's supposed to not eat, and we give him, so we're giving him something to eat that he's not supposed to. The Maram Chaviv also asks, why does the Mishnah say the words Yom Kippur? Of course we're talking about Yom Kippur. That's the subject of our Masechta. The subject of our Masechta is Yom Kippur. So why did the Mishnah have to indicate that we're talking about Yom Kippur? So Maram Chav answers that the Mishnah is telling us a very important rule, that this din that we're going to begin learning now, the din of Chinuch, the din that we train children to start fasting, is only on Yom Kippur. But other fast days, this halacha doesn't apply, and there is no reason to make children fast on Yom Kippur earlier. Aval, as we said, even though the boy is not yet bar mitzvah, the girl is not yet bas mitzvah, menchant chamoisom, we begin to train them before Yom Kippur to fast, at least partially. Fnei shana, that means a year before the year that they become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, which would mean 2 years before 10 years old by a girl, 11 year old by a girl, l'fnei shnasayim, or 2 years before the year before, which would mean the age of 9 by a girl or age of 10 by a boy, b'shvil she'er regilim b'mitzvos. That's what we start treating them. They should be regular mitzvahs. And the stipler asks that the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah, at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah, Mitzvah Shem will discuss this extensively, teaches us that whenever we do teach a child, whenever we mechanach a child in a mitzvah, we're supposed to be mechanach him properly. That means if we're being mechanach our children to take the Dal Minim on Sukkahs, they have to take Dal Minim, which are kosher. It will mechanach our children to sit in the Sukkah on Sukkahs. They're supposed to sit in a kosher Sukkah. So ask the stipler, we know that fasting Yom Kippur requires that you fast the entire day. So if fasting the entire day, what is called shas? What is accomplished by just having them fast for a couple of hours? So of course the simple Torah says because there's no other option. But the stipler wants to suggest that the chiv of Yom Kippur, the chiv to fast on Yom Kippur, means that every moment of Yom Kippur, I'm fasting. And every moment has nothing to do with the next moment. So the moments that the child is fasting, albeit that they're limited moments, all of those moments are full-fledged fast, and that's why it's considered a proper chinuch. So ask the Gemara, understanding the Mishnah, hashta b'fnei shtayim mechanchelhu, if already 2 years, as we learned Pash Pshat in the Mishnah, by a girl at 10, by a boy at 11, we already, if a boy by not by a girl by 9 and a boy by 10, we already start being mechanach them. So then the first case that was mentioned in the Mishnah b'fnei shana mebaya, certainly we should start then by, if by a girl we start by 9, by 10 certainly we're already being mechanachar. And by a boy we start by 10, by 11 we're certainly already being mechanachim. How do we understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah seems to be saying two opposing rules. Answer, the Gemara Amar Chizda Loi Kasha. Ha, b'chayla, a child which is a weaker child, then we start the chinuch later. Ha, b'bari, a healthier child, we start the chinuch earlier. The Gemara now brings, so that's the opinion of Rav Chizda. So according to Rav Chizda, a boy who's healthy, we start at 10, if he's not at 11, and a girl, everything a year earlier. Rav Huna disagrees. Ben Shmoina, a girl who is a healthy girl, from when she's 8 years old, which actually represents 4 years before her bas mitzvah, or ben teisha, or by a boy who's a healthy boy when he's 9 years old, which represents 2 years, which represents 4 years before his bar mitzvah, we start mechanchon yisrael shas, we start him fasting at least for part of the day. Ben Esther or ben achas esrei, when the girl is 10 years old, when the boy is 11 years old, 2 years before their bas or bar mitzvah, mashlim and rabbanim, they have to fast the entire day. Ben shtei masrei, when the girl is 12 years old, mashlim and midaraisa, she has to fast the entire day. That's talking about a tinnitus. Rav Nachman says really the same thing as Rav Huna, whereas Rav Huna spoke about a girl, he's focused on a boy. Ben teish shanim, when the boy is 9 years old, which is 4 years before his bar mitzvah, and ben eser, and when he's 10 years old, which is 3 years before his bar mitzvah, mechan chesel shos, we have fast on Yom Kippur, but just for a certain amount of hours. Ben achas shoshana, ben shtem es shoshana, when he's 11 and 12, when he's 2 or 1 year old from the bar mitzvah, then meshlim midrabanan, he has to finish the day fasting midrabanan, and then once he's ben shloisha esrei, he becomes a bar mitzvah meshlim midraisa. And whereas Rav Huna was speaking about a girl, Rav Nachman is speaking betinik about a boy. Rav Yochanan disagrees with Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is Hashlamad Rabbanon Leka. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there is never a time that where a boy is not yet bar mitzvah or a girl is not yet bas mitzvah that they have to fast even the Rabbanon. And therefore he says Ben Esser, when you have a girl who's 10 years old, 2 years before the bar mitzvah, or 2 years before the bas mitzvah, or Ben Achsrei, or when she's 11 years old, 1 year before her bas mitzvah. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it only begins 2 years or 1 year before the bas mitzvah, And until the bas mitzvah, there's no obligation to fast the entire day. And when the girl is Baruch Hashem a bas mitzvah, meshlim mederaisa, then she has to fast the entire day. So the question is, we had so many different opinions what to do. So the Ramah quotes the Trumas Adeshin that certainly by a boy or a girl who are weak, because we have all these machloikas samarayim, we could certainly follow the opinion of the Rishonim that Paskin l'Rabbi Yochanan that there's never hashlama medrabbanan. There's never a time that medrabbanan somebody has to fast the entire day. And the Mishnah Brura at Simon Tof Reish Tezayin Sifkot and Tes says that bezman hazeh yor dechul shel olam. He says people nowadays are weaker than they were time of Chazal. And therefore, it's very hard to determine that a child should have to fast the entire day, a boy or a girl, unless we know that the boy or girl are very strong. And moreover, the Bi'alocha quotes the opinion that we really pass like the Rishonim that say, like Rabbi Yochanan, that there is no chiv of Hashlama by Midrabanan, and before a girl or boy, a bas or bar mitzvah, there's no chiv to be mechanech them. But there clearly is an indication here that there is a chiv chinuch both by boys and by girls. And in fact, the Magen Avraham asks, why only by a boy when he becomes a bar mitzvah? The halacha is we make a baruch shepatrani. Why don't we make a baruch shepatrani by a girl as well? So the Magen Avraham wants to say that since the Magen Avraham, Prima Gadim, say that since girls have less mitzvahs than boys, so that's why we don't make a Baruch Shabbatrani, because it wasn't such a difficult job being mechanech them. But certainly we see from here that there is a chiv of chinuch by girls as well as there is by boys. Tanan, so begins the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Hatanaikas Eimanana Sabi Yom Kippurim, a young children, we don't make them fast the whole day of Yom Kippur. Amechan choysoi l'fishana l'fishtayim. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rav Huna l'Rav Nachman, according to Rav Huna l'Rav Nachman, that according to them, a healthy child starts to fast 4 years before the Barabbas Mitzvah. The way we could understand the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is speaking about a not healthy child starts 3 years, so we could say that our Mishnah is speaking about children who are not that healthy. And our Mishnah is saying that by 3 years before their Bar Bas Mitzvah, we start being mechanech them. L'fishon l'fishtayim, and what the Mishnah said, l'fishon l'fishtayim, l'fishon l'divrayim. That means before the time that they have to start fasting midrabbanan. L'fnei shtayim midrabbanan Torah. That means we start being mechanech them 1 year by a weak child when it's a year before they have to start fasting with Rabbanan, and it's 2 years before they have to fast with the Raisa. El Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that children never have to fast the whole day, even with Rabbanan, Kasha, how do we understand the wording of the Mishnah? Amar lach Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Ema, the way to take out the words from the Mishnah Lufnei. Shana Ushtaim Usamach Perkirkan. And the Mishnah is teaching us that when it's a year or two before the Barabbas Mitzvah, a healthy child, depending a healthy child 2 years, a not healthy child 1 year, we start being mechanech them midrabbanan, but there's never a chiv to fast the entire day. Toshma, the Tani Rabbi Bashmul, Tanoikis Enmay Son B'Yom Kippurim. Tonight, because we don't make them fast, either a year or two before the Bas or Bar Mitzvah, we make them start the fast. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, Nicha, that price is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. 2 years by a healthy child, 1 year by an unhealthy child, we start training them to fast, but not to fast the whole day. Eller of Hunan of Nachman, according to Hunan of Nachman, Kasha, how are they going to understand this brisa that limits the chinuch much more than they do? Amalach Rabbanan. So Rabbanan of Hunan of Chizda are going to interpret this brisa, my chinuch nami daktani. When the brisa used the word chinuch, it doesn't mean just training them for a certain amount of hours. What actually the chinuch means is hashlama, that they should fast the whole day, which is consistent with their opinion that before the bar bas mitzvah, depending on the child, depending on boy or girl, they have to fast the whole day. Ask the Gemara, is fasting a whole day, can you call that chinuch? Umikar l'chinuch hashlama? If we ask somebody to fast the whole day, is that called chinuch? Vatanya eza chinuch. The Brisa teaches us that what is the definition of chinuch? Hayregalacha b'shtei shos. If you always ate 2 hours in today, mechilan I say l'sholosh shos. We tell him to eat an hour later. B'sholosh, if you ate 3 hours in a day, mechilan I say barbas. We see that the definition of chinuch is that they should eat later in the day. And what it means is that the child, the way I sort of Rishonim explain, the Rambam says this in the Pirush Mishnayis, he should start feeling hungry. Let him feel hungry. And when he feels hungry, we can tell him to eat, but let him get to the point that he feels hungry. But we see that the definition of chinuch is not fasting the whole day. Rather, the definition of chinuch is not fasting the whole day. So how could Rav Huna and Rav Chisda say the definition of chinuch in the Brisa that we just quoted means hashlama? Answers. The Gemara, Amar Rabbar Ula Trei Chinuch Chav, there are two types of chinuch. There's chinuch of a part of the day, which is what's mentioned in this Brisa, and there's chinuch of the entire day, which according to Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is what was mentioned in the previous Brisa. Says the Mishnah, Ubra Sharicha, a woman who's pregnant and she smells the taste of food. And the Rishonim point out that this halacha, that if somebody smells food and becomes desperate to eat it, that halacha is that under certain circumstances we let the person eat it, it's not only by a pregnant woman. The reason the Mishnah mentions it by a pregnant woman, because by a pregnant woman, it's more likely to happen that she's going to get this kind of a craving. And moreover, when a woman who's in that state gets this kind of craving, and we don't satisfy it, then we could put the fetus in danger. Another person, just because they get a craving, doesn't mean that they, and certainly there's no baby to be put into craving. Moreover, the Marim Chavav says that the halacha we're learning in our Mishnah is not limited to if she smelled food, if she saw food, or she thought about food, then in all the cases, the halacha will be the same. The Ramban says, but the sakana has to be a sakana to the mother. Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says that even the sakana for the child is considered a sakana. And the Rosh actually takes it a step further. Even if we were going to suggest that the sakana of the child should not be a consideration in halacha, but says the Rosh, if the child is in sakana, automatically the mother is also in a sakana. And therefore, if we think that this is going to be a sakana for the child, we have to do whatever we have to do for the mother as well. From what point does this begin? As soon as we know that the mother is pregnant. Machilon I saw, we give her to eat, achateshiv nafsha, until she's satisfied. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, we work in phases. First, we give her we tell her it's Yom Kippur. If that satisfies her, great. If not, we give her to smell, to taste. We try to do as little as possible. Moreover, Rabbeinu Menoyach says that if she ate because of this craving, so as soon as that's over, she has to stop eating, and she may not eat on Yom Kippur anymore. There is no halacha that once she ate, she can continue eating for the duration of the day. Chayla, the same thing says the Mishnah, if somebody who is ill, machila yaseh pibakiyim. If doctors say that he's in sakana, if he won't eat, then the halacha is that we can give him to eat. The main shamakim, and if there is no doctor available, mechilan asal piatzmai, we listen to what the patient says, and we continue serving him food until he says he has enough. So the Rambam explains that the bikim are people who are expert doctors. And there's an interesting machlokes rishonim. Let's say there's one doctor who's a big expert, and then there are other doctors who are not as big experts, but they are the majority. So who do we follow? Do we follow the expert, or do we follow the majority? The Meiri says we follow the expert. The Magen Mishnah says that the Rambam holds that we follow the majority. However, the Paiskin, the Bialocha discusses that we could trust any doctor. It doesn't have to be a Jewish doctor. But the Bialocha says that even though we're trusting any doctor, we have to trust a doctor who has respect for Yom Kippur. Because otherwise, the doctor may be quick to say, yes, of course the patient should eat, not recognizing what Yom Kippur represents to Klal Yisrael. And Digris Moshe says that actually this psak should be done in consultation with Rabbonim. He quotes that one year of Sol Solanta, where there was a disease amongst Klal Yisrael, he told everybody to eat. And even though he wasn't a doctor. But the Rabbonim, to a great degree, have a greater appreciation of what the halacha allows and what the halacha doesn't allow. And that's why we should follow what the halacha says. The Mishnah says in Masechta, in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Hei, Vasar Nisim Nasa Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah mentions all the Nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says, Lo Yipila Isha Yidei Reich Basa Kodesh. A woman never miscarried from smelling meat that it was Hegdish and having that craving. And the Chiddush on the Mishnah is, Rashi explains, that because if she would have had that craving, we would not be allowed to give her the meat. But the question is, based on what we just learned in our Mishnah, that if it's a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, then we give her to eat. So what's Pshat and Rashi? So I saw that the Tosfos Yom Kippurim explains that Rashi is saying that Chazal was so confident on the Nes that no woman would miscarry because of Basa Kodesh. And therefore, no matter what she said, we don't have to worry. When we know for sure there is no, when we know for sure that there is no concern of a medical issue, then we're allowed to, then we could do what we have to do. But then I saw that the Sefer Daf al Adaf says a very big chiddush. He wants to suggest that even though, of course, as we're about to learn, pikuach nefesh is so critical, but as much as pikuach nefesh is so very critical, it doesn't allow for gezeila. And the meat that belongs to the hegdish, if this woman is going to take it for herself, she's going to be violating gezeila, and therefore we may not give it to her. And that's why Rashi is correct in assuming that even if it would cause pikuach nefesh, we would not be allowed to give it a meat. But there was a nes that nobody ever got harmed because of it anyway. Tanar Abana begins the Gemara, Uber Shericha Basa Kodesh Basa Chazir. If a pregnant woman had this craving, Teichon Lekush Beroitif, we take a stick and we stick it into the sauce of the meat, Menichon Lapia, and we put it on her mouth. And if that will, Niash Vedata, if that will make her happy, Mutav, great. Vimlav, we give it to eat from the gravy itself. If that causes her to calm down, mutav, great. Mimlav, we give it to eat from the meat itself. The halacha teaches us that the first thing we always do is for bikuach nefesh, everything is waived, chutz, except for the three averis, avodazara, gila rais, shvichus damim. But everything else is waived. The Brik Yosef says that on Yom Kippur, we tell her that it's Yom Kippur. But he wants to differentiate that on Yom Kippur, where the Isra of eating is not dependent on the food, it's because of the day, that's where we say it to her. But when the food is Osir, then and she still wants it, we don't say anything, we just give her what she needs. Moreover, this Gemara is teaching us a halacha that we're going to still discuss, a very important halacha, and that is the halacha of a kala kal tchila. We always try to do, when a person, if he has to, she has to eat on Yom Kippur, we try to give her as little, we try to do the smallest avera as possible. And that's why we prefer to give the roitif than the meat itself. So Rabbi Yoshua so asks, but we pask in the tam kicker, if meat gave tam to liquid, that liquid is considered awesome midaraisa. So what's the advantage of giving her the liquid, the gravy, the sauce, over giving her the meat? So Yoshua says that since the issa of eating non-kosher meat is explicit in the Torah, And the Isser of Tam Kikr is not explicit in the Torah. When we have to do this, we preferably will give us something which is not an Isser, which is not an explicit Isser versus something which is an explicit Isser. The Ramban wants to say that this whole halacha that we follow this order is only by an ubra that got the craving. Not that she's necessarily an ill person, but says the Ramban, somebody who's sick, then we should give him right away and not start thinking about a kal akal, not a kal tchila. So we just learned that the halacha is that ein lecha davish oim b'nei pekuach nefesh chutz ma'avoy dezorah gilo erayis ha'shvichus damim. But the Torah says that this is only when it's betzina, when it's in private. So when it's in private, a person is not obligated to give up his life only by these three averis. But if it's beferesia, if it's in public, then a person should give up his life by all mitzvahs. And then there's a very interesting, then the Maral Diskin I saw asks, but we know that the Gemara says that a mechal Shabbos is ki'ilu oivet avodah zarah. If somebody chas v'shal is mechal Shabbos, he's like an oivet avodah zarah. So if an Al Gemara we just learned that for avodah zarah, one is obligated to give up his life, so shouldn't the same halacha be for Shabbos? That if Shabbos is equivalent to avodah zarah, and if somebody is being forced, rachmal tzlan, to be mechal Shabbos, he should be ready to give up his life. So Maril Giskin answers that if somebody is mechal Shabbos under such circumstances, it's obviously a malach shenet tzrich l'gufa. And a malach shenet tzrich l'gufa, as we learned extensively, Masechta Shabbos is not osur mideraisa. So now the question is, if somebody was not obligated to give up his life, and he gave up his life, he was meis nefesh when the Torah doesn't require him to do so, is that acceptable or not? The Rambam's opinion is that if somebody gives up his life where the halacha doesn't require him to do so, he's mischai benafshoi. In other words, it's considered like he committed suicide. Taisus and the Rosh, Taisus is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Divrei Maskil Yochel, and the Rosh disagree with the Rambam, and they bring many cases, there are people where were not halachically required to give up their life, and they still gave up their life, they were mois and nefesh. The Nebuka Yosef agrees with the Rambam, that if the Torah doesn't require us to give up our lives, we shouldn't give up a life. He says, unless the person is a Talmud Chochem and a well-known Yerushmayim, such a person is allowed to go beyond the letter of the law and give up his life. Taisus, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos, tells us about a person who was Mois and Nefesh rather than be Mechal Shabbos. So Taisus Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalar Mabeis Divrei Maskil Katol, he obviously, says Taisus, was an Amoritz, because we just discussed that you don't have to give up your life because of Chil Shabbos. Ask Taisus, ask the Gra, why is Taisus so quick to label an Amoritz? Isn't it the opinion of Taisus that anybody could give up the life when they want to, even when it's not one of these Gimel Mitzvahs? So the Gra quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham that even though Taisus is of the opinion that a person could give up his life not only by the three averis that we're going to discuss in our shir, that's only if the person who's forcing him to do the avera is doing it lavira al das. He's trying to get him to go against what the Torah says. So then it's considered a kiddush Hashem to go against that. And if you want to, you can give up your life. But if the person who's threatening him is not doing it because lavira al das, if somebody's forcing somebody to be mechal Shabbos, not because it's a religious matter, he just wants this person to do something on his behalf on Shabbos. So says the Gra that that's not considered a case where anybody could suggest that he's allowed to give up his life. And that's why Taisus, when he says that this person was an Amoritz, is very understandable because there was no Kiddush Hashem involved. And therefore, the halacha would be that if somebody, Rachman Slon, is sick on Shabbos, and to treat him, Chil Shabbos is required, no one has the right not to be Mechal Shabbos. Because there's no la'avir al daso involved. There's no issue of forcing the person to go against our religion. He's nebuch sick, and he needs to be taken care of. Under those circumstances, everyone, even if he's a Talmud Chacham and a Yerushalayim, and he wants to be machmer like Tosfos and the Rosh, it makes no difference. He must be mechal Shabbos to save his life. So ask the Gemara, avoid the Zohar Manolon. How do we know that somebody's supposed to be ready to give up his life rather than worship avoid the Zohar? The Tanya Rebbe Lezer Omer, we know we say every morning, three times a day, after Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'idecha. So the question is, if the Torah says a person is ready, supposed to give up his life, ma'idecha means money. If you're ready to give up your life, you certainly have to be ready to give up all your money. V'mnemar b'chol ma'idecha, and if the Torah says b'chol ma'idecha, b'chol nafshecha, if you're going to say b'chol ma'idecha, what does it have to say b'chol nafshecha? That if you have to give up whatever is dear to you, teaches us the Gemara. Im yesh lecha adam shegufa chavala b'manai. You have a person who you have some. So there's two ways of learning pshat in this Gemara. Pash pshat in the Gemara is there's some people that care about themselves more than about the money. So the Torah is teaching us b'chol lechachna b'chol nafshecha. You have to be ready to give up your life to be ma'isa nefesh and not to worship avodah zarah. Then yesh lecha adam shemayne chavala v'gufay. Then you'll have a person who cares about money more than his life. L'chach nemar, for such a person it says b'chol ma'idecha. But I saw that the Sefer Tosfos Yom Kippurim explains that we could be speaking about the person himself. There's certain people that change in life when they're younger, so they care about themselves more about the money. Because they know that since they have their life ahead of them and they're young and energetic, they will be able, mitzvah Shem Baruch Hashem, to have panasa. But as they get older, and it's difficult for them to have panasa, that's when their money becomes more valued to them. The Ramah says, and based on the Ran, that all of these Averis don't only speak about the actual Avera, but anything that's included that in the Vizrayu, anything that's included in the category of that Avera is in that category that a person has to be ready to give up their lives. So Al Gemara is teaching us, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, Ahavas Hashem Elokecha means that he should be ready to give up his life instead of Chas V'Shalom worshipping Avodah Zarah. Gila Raiz V'Shvichas Damim Nola. So continues the Gemara, how do we know that this halacha applies by Gila Raiz and Shvichas Damim also, that a person should be ready to give up his life? The Tanya Rebbe Omer, the Torah speaks about a Nara Humarasa who was violated. The Torah says, Ulanara Loisas Adavar, Ein Lanara Chait Mavis, Ki Keshiyokim Ish Al Re'eyu Ritzach Nefesh, Kena Dava Zeh. So the question is, the Torah is sort of connecting the din of a Nara Marasa to the din of a murderer. And the question obviously is, V'chima Inyo Lamadim Ritzach Nara Marasa. What is the connection between a Ritzach and a Nara Marasa? Says the Gemara Arei Zabola Lamed, it seems that the Torah is trying to teach us halacha from Ritzicha to Nara Marasa, but really just the opposite happens. We learn something from Nara Marasa. Ma Nara Marasa nitin latzela benafshay, that if somebody's trying to violate her, and the only way that we could stop that person from doing so is by killing that person, we should do so. Af Ritzich, the same thing by Ritzich, the halacha is that if we see somebody wanting to try to murder someone else, we, if there's no other option, should murder that person. Maritzeach, in the Torah says, by Ritzeach, Yaharik Val Yavar, if somebody says that you should kill someone, and if you won't kill somebody, then you will get killed. The halacha is, Yaharik Val Yavar, let yourself get killed versus killing someone else. Afna Marasa, the halacha by Nara Marasa is the same, that if you're told, have relations with a woman who's an Eishes Ish, and if you won't have a relation with an Eishes Ish, we'll kill you. The halacha is Yaharig Val Yavar. There is a very significant discussion amongst the Paiskim When we speak about Yarek Val Yava Begilu Arayis, is that only when a person is required to actively do something? And that's what we say, Yaharek Val Yaver. But if the person is put in a passive position, then there is no din, even though he's going to be part of the Aveira of Gilei Rayis, there is no din of Yaharek Val Yaver. Or is Yaharek Val Yaver said under all circumstances, whether it's an active Aveira or not an active Aveira? The Paiskim seem to be lenient that if somebody's going to have to do the Aveira of Gilei Rayis, but he's only going to be doing it in a passive fashion, there is no chiyuv or yaharek val yaver. Ask the Gemara Ritzeich Gufa Menolan, how do we know that a murderer is supposed to give up his, if somebody is forced to murder someone else, he's supposed to be ready to give up his life versus killing someone? Svarihi. Says the Gemara, it's based on logic. The Hudasla Kamei Rava, somebody came to ask a question by Rava. Amalei Mari Deroi, the governor of the city told me, Katal Laplani, I want you to murder that individual. And if you refuse to do so, Katlinaloch, I will kill you. Amalei Naktiloch, let yourself be killed. Veloy Tigtal, and don't kill someone else. Why? And the Gemara tells us that even though normally, as we said earlier, the Aloch is V'chai Behem, a person is supposed to do whatever he needs to do to remain alive, here, that halacha doesn't apply. Why? Because my chazad the dam the dach sumach tvei, what makes your blood redder than the dam the who garben sumach tvei? Maybe that person is more important. And therefore, you have no right to kill him and spare yourself. And I saw that the Rebbe Rabbunim says that this Gemara is such a powerful Gemara. He says, let's say the person who's being forced to murder someone else is a great tzaddik. And the person who he's being told to kill is a person who's not such a great person. So maybe we can make an argument that it's better to spare the tzaddik and let the rasha be killed, says the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't make that kind of consideration. The Gemara says, under all circumstances, we have no right to kill any Jew. And we don't begin measuring which Jew is stronger and which Jew is weaker. All Jews have the same halacha. But there is an interesting question. If there's a group of Jews and they were approached and they were said, one of you should be turned over to us that we will murder him, and if you don't turn over one of you, then I'm going to kill all you. What's the halacha? So the Rambam says, Yahargu kulam, they should all be allowed, let themselves be killed. Vayim sulam nefesh achs misrol, they shouldn't give up one Jewish life. So ask the Ramach on the Rambam, our Gemara says that we're not allowed to murder somebody because I'm no more valuable than you. But here when they're all going to get murdered, why is this Svara applicable? So it says the Kesa Mishnah, a very important Vart. He says, although our Gemara just gave us the Svara, why by Ritzicha, the Halacha is Yarek Val Yaver, the Svara doesn't frame the Halacha. He says the halacha is the halacha under all circumstances. That for a tzicha, as the Rambam says, we're never allowed to be involved in causing a person to die. Even when the svara of the Gemara doesn't apply, doesn't make a difference, the halacha is as that for your tzicha, it's yaharek val yaver. Moreover, says the Karban Asano, that it goes the other way as well. That let's say there's somebody who is in a situation of bikuach nefesh. And if I won't do so, I can help him. But by helping him, I will put myself into Bikuach Nefesh. Says the Karban Asano, that isn't required either. And a person is not required to put himself into Bikuach Nefesh for the next person, again, with the exact same svara, because why is his life more valuable than my life? However, I did see a tshuva from Ramosha and Igris Moshe in a situation where there were two babies born, Siamese twins, they were connected. And separating them would cause one of them to die. So Moshe wants to suggest that since one of them, if one of them is weaker than the other one, then we're allowed to do the operation, even though it'll be done in a fashion that the weaker one will die. That's the psak of Moshe. But I saw Rabbeinu Plavarsky Shlita in the Sefer Bat Kodesh says that it's not so simple that Because we just learned, and we just quoted the Rebbe Rabbunim, that the halacha, that you're not allowed to kill somebody, applies even when the two people aren't equal. He says that, therefore, you can't say, well, this one is weaker and this one's stronger, let's save the stronger one at the expense of the weaker one. But he says a different reason why the operation may be conducted. He says that since, as long if they're going to remain connected, neither of them will survive. So since in that circumstance, neither of them will survive, says the Bat Kodesh, then they're not considered B'nai Kiyama. They're not considered viable human beings. And the Isser Tzicha was only said by viable human beings, not by people who won't survive. However, the Archa, there was a pregnant woman who smelled food in Yom Kippur. Asla Kamei the Rebbe, and they came to Rebbe, Amalu Zilu L'chushla Yom Kippurah, whisper in ear that they is Yom Kippur. L'chushla, and they whispered to her, for L'chisha, and she accepted it, and she didn't eat. Karele Bebetin Etzrech Bebetin Yadich. Before you were born, I already saw that you will be a great individual. This baby, already when he was in his mother's womb, showed us who he was. And indeed, Nafik Minei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was that baby. But then there was a different story. There was a pregnant woman that smelled food. Asla Kamedra of Chanina, Amal Chushala, Tal Shem Kippur. Maybe that will halt her craving. V'lay Al-Chisha didn't help. Karyalei. Sometimes we could see that a child will be a Rosh already from when it's in its mother's womb. And indeed what happened, Nafkimine Shapsa Otsaperi, Shapsi, who was famous for raising the prices of fruit, was the one to come after that child. And the Sharet Si and its Simon Tofresh Yudzayin Sif Cotton Gimel quotes the Demiri that when we whisper, we don't just whisper saying today is Yom Kippur, but we tell that child, we want you to know that if you won't eat, you're guaranteed that everything will be fine. That you're allowed to say it to that degree. So first of all, from here we see that the Marim Chava says that we see that the Yetzer Hara is already in it, starts with the child when it's in its mother's womb. Moreover, Rashi Eliyashu says there's nothing halachically wrong here. You're allowed to eat under those circumstances. But there was a Ruach HaKodesh that said, this is proof to us what this child will be. But then I saw that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says, the two individuals that we're speaking about here are Rabbi Yochanan and Shapsi, the person who raised the prices. What is the connection between these two people? So he says, what was Rabbi Yochanan famous for? The Gemara says, in Masech the Brachis, Daf Hei Amud Beis, that Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 sons and while he was in his lifetime. And after he lost his 10th son, he would walk around with the bone of that child. And whenever somebody in Nebuch was sitting Shiva, he would say, look at me. You can't be worse off than I am that I lost 10 children. So what does that represent, says Rav Zilberstein? What that represents is that here we have an individual who's so concerned about other people. He's willing to be in tsar himself. He's willing to be in pain, go to these houses of the Avelim, even though it will cause him pain. He's thinking about other people. A person who raises the prices, just that he should be able to have more profit, what kind of individual is that person? That's a person who doesn't care about anybody else. He only cares about himself. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan and Shapsi are the two opposites of each other.